This morning's reading is in three parts, starting with Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, starting at chapter 4. Moses answered, What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, The Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, What is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, Throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Now 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. If you don't know me, I'm Jenny, and I'm married to Steve, and we have two daughters, Sophie and Emily. I run an ethical fashion brand called Generous, that's working to change lives in India through creating empowering work and giving back from sales. Many will have been following my journey since we launched in 2019, but I know that some of you won't know my background as you're new to the church, so it's great to be able to share with you today. Both passages that were read, one from the Old Testament and one from the New, were inspirational for me in starting Generous. As I sought God's direction at a pivotal point in my life, God spoke to me through these passages, and I started Generous in response to what I believe to be God's call on my life. I'd love to share with you a bit more about that journey today and the mission behind Generous, and look at giving, giving to God, giving to others, and God-given power. So firstly, let's look at giving to God. The story of Moses encountering God at the burning bush that we heard read from Exodus 3 and 4 is a well-known Bible story. Moses is called by God to set God's people free from Egypt. And it was this passage that repeatedly brought to my attention as I sought God's direction in my life. I'd been working as a fashion designer for many years, but I'd taken a break to look after my two daughters. As Emily, my youngest, started school, I was seeking God's direction about what was next, and it was at this point that I encountered this story of Moses being called by God. I went to various events, and this passage was spoken on, and then even at Spring Harvest that year, there was a whole week of teaching based on the story of Moses. Sometimes when God wants to tell us something, he repeats it until we get it. In chapter 3, verse 10, we read that God says to Moses, "Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Now this was a pretty big ask, as the Israelites had been in captivity for hundreds of years. No wonder that Moses isn't very happy about it. Moses is fearful and feels ill-equipped to succeed at what was a seemingly impossible task. He says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Moses continues to have a conversation with God about this calling on his life. And in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, we read that Moses says, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say that the Lord did not appear to you?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. And it is this question, "What is in your hand?" that I felt that God was asking me. Why did Moses have a staff in his hand? We learn in chapter 3, verse 1, that Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Moses was tending his father-in-law's flock, so he was using the staff as part of his work. As a shepherd, he would have used his staff to keep his sheep in order. When I researched this, it said that the shepherd would have used the blunt end to jab the sheep in the ribs and nudge it back into the direction of the flock, or the curved part to bring the sheep that had strayed back to the flock. I love the fact that God uses something that Moses already had, and each of us has gifts and talents that God's given us that we can give back to God. I believe God asks each one of us to consider what it is that we have in our hands that we can give to God. Whether that be a stethoscope if you're a doctor, a calculator if you're an accountant, a paintbrush if you're a decorator. It may not even be associated with your work. Perhaps it's a hobby or a love of cooking or the gift of listening. God is calling each of us to give him our skills and experience, our tools, our talents. For me, this meant giving God the pencil in my hand and my skill as a designer and the experiences that I'd gained within the fashion industry. As I gave this to God, I began to research how I could use this unique skill set as part of God's purpose and kingdom work. Whilst working in the fashion industry, Steve and I had taken a short career break and we travelled with the Baptist Mission Society on a short-term mission trip. You'll see me there many years ago. We went for a selection weekend and were told about the various locations that teams went. Before the weekend, I didn't want to go to India at all. However, we both felt led by God, and that we should go to India. And I had a really strong conviction that it was part of God's plan for me, although I didn't realise the significance of that at that point. So in 2007, we went to Delhi for 3 weeks and worked with an organisation called Anusaran. We taught in a village school and were involved in women's empowerment and the local church. It was a huge cultural shock and a real life-changing experience as we saw extreme poverty. So when I began to look at how I might step into what I believed God was calling me to do, I revisited India, did an online course about how to start a sustainable fashion business, connected with organisations in India that were seeking to improve lives. And I also did a pioneer mission course here at the church. And Generous was launched just over 4 years ago. I felt that God was asking me to give him what was in my hand. So what is it that you have in your hand that you can give to God for his kingdom work? We've thought about giving to God, and now my second point is about giving to others. We see in these passages that God calls us to give to others. God is a God of compassion. He cares about the poor. He stands up against oppression, suffering, and injustice, and calls us to do the same. In the Exodus passage, we see that God says in verse 7 of chapter 3, that I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God has heard the cry of the garment workers that are working in forced labour and unsafe working conditions. He has seen the injustice of a profit-driven industry where people are paid, not paid fairly for the work that they do. He has seen the damage that is being done to his world through garment production, pollution and waste. The fashion industry is one of the most polluting industries in the world. The environmental impact of fashion is massive, caused by greenhouse gas emissions, excessive water usage, plastic microfibers that are dumped into the oceans, pesticides used in cotton farming, the toxic dyes that pollute the waterways, and the burning of fossil fuels. A recent TV documentary reported that garment workers have been paid as little as 3p per garment, and can be forced to work 18-hour days. And a massive 93% of fashion brands surveyed by a company called Fashion Checker aren't paying garment workers at a living wage. I think these facts are a call to action, and whatever I can do through Generous to create clothing in a more ethical and sustainable way, I believe is very much in keeping with God's heart. God calls us to do his work here on earth and to live a life of purpose. The passage we read from Corinthians was the inspiration for our brand name, Generous. We hear Paul encouraging the Corinthians to be generous and to give cheerfully out of all that they have. In verse 11 it says, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion." God is a generous God who is our provider and has given us so much physically, but also through his Son. We can give as a grateful response for all that God has done for us. This might be in a monetary sense or giving of our time, using our talent and God-given gifts to help others. Generous is a generous brand, and we're giving at the core of our brand DNA. We're trying to have a positive impact on people and the environment through the way that we run our business. We're creating empowering work, mainly for women, that make up 80% of the garment workers. We partner with fair trade factories, which ensures that there's fair pay and safe working conditions. At first, we started working with only one factory called Jacob's Well, a World Fair Trade Organization enterprise in Bangalore, India, You can see me here with workers in the factory on one of my visits. Working with fair trade means that there is no forced labour or child labour. There are safe working conditions. Holiday pay and benefits are offered to staff, and they are not forced to do overtime. These are things which we would all expect as part of an employment agreement. You can see here the small Jacob's Well factory that's situated in a busy Bangalore street. And here are some women that we're working with. During COVID, we were able to help them financially and support them, and not only them, but their extended families as well. As we've grown, we've been able to expand our supply base and are working with other suppliers in India and Nepal, which is great, as the more orders we can place, the more empowering work we create, and the bigger our positive impact. We also work with artisans and incorporate handblock printing into our range of clothing. This preserves traditional craft and uses natural dyes, and we use sustainable fabrics such as organic cotton. Our positive impact is also achieved through giving back from sales. As a social enterprise, we're committed to reinvesting back into Indian communities and give to charities that are working to transform lives. We have most recently partnered with the Leprosy Mission and are supporting their vocational training programs for young people affected by leprosy. The tailoring training gives opportunities to young people that are affected by leprosy to help them reach their potential. Hopefully, you'll be able to watch a short video now that tells the story of Vinathini.
Across India, there are many young people affected by leprosy. They are ambitious, they are hardworking, they are ready to learn. They just need an opportunity and someone to believe in them, so they can build a positive future and achieve their dreams. My mom is affected by leprosy and life is very hard for my family. I have not had many opportunities because of poverty and discrimination. But the Leprosy Mission gave me a place on their training program. They taught me so many skills and gave me confidence. And when I graduated with one of the highest grades in India, Mum was ecstatic. I am now working for one of the most prestigious companies in the industry in Chennai. In a few years, I plan to set up my own boutique. Young people from families affected by leprosy have the same potential as others. But sadly, they don't have the same opportunities. Poverty means they often can't afford to pay for education or training. Discrimination means that it is difficult to find work. Talent and potential, unrealized and wasted. Today, could you give a young person the one chance they need to succeed? You can help give a student affected by leprosy the opportunity they deserve, the opportunity to succeed and be independent. Your support will provide practical training, entrepreneurial workshops, life skills, uniforms and accommodation at a vocational training center. Together, we will see a generation of young adults flourish, breaking out of poverty and showing the world what they can do. This happened to me, so why not Nagajyoti?
Thanks. So we also recently received a thank you letter from the Leprosy Mission for our latest donation, which tells the story of another young woman whose life is being transformed. I'm just going to read you that now. I'd like to introduce you to Rima, a 26-year-old woman living in India. 5 years ago, Rima received a late diagnosis of leprosy. She thought the numb patches she had on her hands would get better on their own. It was only when her fingers began to claw that she went to see the doctor. She didn't know anyone with leprosy and felt as though her world had collapsed. She didn't know how she would look after her family as the sole carer of her younger siblings. Hospital staff were great comfort to her during this time. Rima has been given the cure to leprosy, which is some drugs that they give to make them better, and had reconstructive surgery to restore function to three of her fingers. After this, she came to Bankura Vocational Training Centre to study tailoring. She loves it and has made good friends and is excited about her future. "It's changed my life," she said. "It is because of your kindness and generosity that we are able to continue this work, restoring hope to people affected by leprosy. You truly are life changers." So thank you to everyone who has bought from us. You are truly life changers. Through Generous, it's so brilliant to be able to make a positive difference to people's lives through fashion. I'm working to help the poor and the marginalised communities in India, but you don't have to go as far to find poverty or need. It's on our doorstep. We're in a cost of living crisis with poverty at record high here in the UK. What need do you see around you? What is it that you can do or give out of all that you have been blessed with? Which brings me to my last point. We've thought about giving to God and giving to others, and now finally, let's think about God-given power. I want to focus lastly on God's gift to us, because he doesn't call us to do his work on our own, but goes with us. We're called to live a life of purpose, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We didn't read on into the story to see that Moses fulfills his mission and calling and is instrumental in setting God's people free. He achieves this through a partnership with God. What we do see in this passage that we read is that in verse 12, God says, "I will be with you." Later in chapter 4, Moses is still making excuses and says that he isn't a good speaker, to which God says, "I will help you speak and teach you what to say." Again, we see God being willing to help us in our weaknesses. God equips and empowers us for the work that he calls us to do. Not only do we see this promise of help, but also that God uses Moses, his staff, to do miraculous signs and wonders. If you don't know the story, then Moses goes to Pharaoh and uses his staff to show God's power so that Pharaoh will listen to him. It also draws water from a rock for the Israelites to drink whilst in the desert, and even parts the Red Sea. That which is ordinary, a shepherd's staff, with God's power can achieve far more than is humanly or physically possible. This theme of God's empowering individuals and things that they give to God is evident throughout the Bible. For example, the story of the boy who gives his 2 fish and 5 loaves to Jesus, which wasn't very much when there were 5,000 people to feed. Jesus' disciples say, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" With Jesus, what seemed impossible was achieved. Everyone was fed, and there were 12 baskets left over. In John 6, verse 12 to 14, we read, "When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, 'Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets. The people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did." When we give the little that we have to Jesus, he can do the miraculous and impossible with it. We also see how faith in God meant that David attempted and achieved what others feared to do by using his experience and skill and what was in his hand. David defeats Goliath with just a sling and a stone. David had killed lions and bears while protecting his sheep, but it was only through faith and God's help that he was able to boldly do what others were fearful to. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, David says to Goliath, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." In all these stories, we can see how Moses, the small boy, and David gave God the little that they had, trusted in him, and how God did far more than is humanly possible. We have huge potential when God is involved. There is a verse in Ephesians chapter 3 that reminds us that God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. So from Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21 reads, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." It is my prayer that as I give the little that I have to God, that he will achieve far more than I can expect or imagine, and that many people's lives will be transformed as a result. What about you? What is God calling you to do or give to others? What is it that you have in your hand that you can give to God and through his empowering gift of the Holy Spirit, see it fulfill God's potential?